Burt Show.
Previously on the Burt Show.
My boss called a meeting the other day, and she just was so obnoxious in the meeting and talking down to us and telling us to step everything up, and including the way we dress. So I wrote everything I felt. I even talked about her appearance, remember? I never thought I would send this, but she had insulted how we dressed and came to work.
And you know you knock out that email in like 60 seconds.
Yeah.
You're so mad.
What are some of the specifics that you put in there that you just wanted to get off the chest?
I told her that we said she looks like a troll, or sometimes people have said that she actually looks like a man and drag, and I couldn't believe she would tell us to step it up when she really does look like a man and drag.
Oh.
That was the call we took on Friday, and that was before she got into work.
Yeah, so can you imagine being in that meeting? Sorry, Bert, I didn't mean to say that you look like you dress in drag every day.
I mean, once that's red.
Even
if the boss was going to take the high road and say, you know what, it's cool, that will always be in the back of her mind.
Oh, yeah. She'll never trust her again.
Jeff suggested that she infect all the computers in the office with a virus.
Just put it out there.
Legal suggestion.
Probably, but if you get to find a way to take the whole system down, just thinking out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Well, y'all looking at me like that. I'm just trying to help.
One suggested that she just goes into the office and tells the boss that she has something that she wants to talk to her about. So they sit down privately in the office, and Abby would see if the boss brought it up.
Mm-hmm. And then someone told her to blame it on another coworker who went to their computer to write the email.
Sabotaging her.
And then there's some people said, you know what, just confront it up front, whether she's read it or not, and just tell her, I'd never meant to send that, and if you haven't read it, please don't read it, you know, and just start with honesty.
Which is like a magnet. If you say, please don't read it, it's like, that's the first thing I'm going to read.
Totally going to read it if she said that.
Predictions. Is Abby still employed, Wendy?
She is unemployed this morning.
I'm going to say she's still there, but she's on some kind of probation of some kind.
Still there, but hanging by a thread.
I think she quit.
I
think she just went bold and said,
oh, boy.
I can't believable.
Hey, Abby, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
Are you still employed?
As far as I know, yes.
As of right now, you are employed. All right. Give us every beautiful step. As soon as you walked into the... That must have been the longest drive into work. And then when you walk in, you must think like everybody's looking at you or the boss is immediately looking at you.
That's the drive you take into work and you look at everybody else in traffic with you and wish you were them that day.
Right. Exactly.
So what happened?
So after all that, you're completely right. I get there and I'm at my desk. Just trying to keep busy, keep my nose down, and my boss walks by, and she says, meeting at 4:30, see you then.
Oh, and this was in the beginning of the day?
At the end of the day!
No, at the beginning of the day.
Like, that's cruel.
Like,
What a great management ploy, but cruel. Yes. So immediately she says 5:30 today, and doesn't say anything else.
No. 4:30, yes, it's 4:30.
And I'd be like, I'm getting fired on a Friday afternoon.
Wow. Yep. Right before the end of the day, that's all I could think. So, I mean, I was just, it was just the longest day I've ever
that's so cruel.
Had in my life.
You're watching the clock tick.
To make you sweat it out like that all day long, that's tough.
That's smart.
Okay, so now it's tick, 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 tick.
Yeah, longest day. So, my lunch break, I actually left the office and I just sat by myself. I was just like, I almost broke down. But I got it together, I went back, had to wait longer, and then it was 4:30 or 4:27, so I walk over to the office.
Every meeting, of all the meetings you've ever attended, this is the one you're going to make sure that you're on time.
Right, so I get there perfectly on time, and well, anyway, I enter her office, and there's no one else there. It's just me and her meeting.
One-on-one.
It's a one-on-one, meeting.
That's good news that the HR director wasn't sitting there.
Yeah.
Did you think that?
I thought that they're practically going to have handcuffs and usher me out. So we're the only ones there. I really don't know what to do, but I'm just trying to be cool and polite. And I take a seat, and she proceeds to go over some details of information on this project that I've been working on. And this goes on about 20 minutes or so.
Whoa.
Never brings it up, never says anything. And, I mean, for a second, I almost forget what's going on, but of course I really don't. So we finish discussing, or she talked more about the whole project, and then she concludes around 4:57, and because I saw the clock right there at her desk, and, you know, she says, okay, well, thanks. Is there anything you want to talk to me about? And it's like time, you know, it's like time literally froze. And, but I hear myself saying, no, I'm all good. Thank you. Have a great weekend. And she says, you too. And I find myself walking out, and it's like I see myself from another vantage point. Like, I'm not even in my body.
She gave you the out.
Yeah, but I couldn't get out of there quick enough, and yet time had frozen. It's like I could see myself from another point of view. It's just bizarre, and I get out of there, and I leave the building after I get a few belongings, and I get to my car, and I'm like, what happened? You know, I just, the whole thing was so weird. And I get home, and I go on my own computer, and I just wrote her a note. I said, I'm so sorry. I think you got my email the other day, and, or today or yesterday, and I was just complaining because I'd had an awful, awful, awful day, and personal things were happening in my life, and I took it out on you, and I'm sorry.
So you're purging in this email that she hasn't even acknowledged yet.
No. Well, I left something out, you guys. She's a BlackBerry. Meaning, like, you know how I told you I didn't know she had read it?
Mm-hmm.
When I was sitting at work Friday, I mean, she walks by.
She got it, like, the minute you sent it, she got it.
Yes, but I didn't realize that when I talked to you guys, because I don't have a BlackBerry, so I was thinking about computers and just not instant getting messages. And yes, I forgot to tell you that. So anyway, so yeah, she got it. I mean, there's no doubt she got it. So moving back, or moving forward, when I'm home with my computer and not my BlackBerry, since I don't have one, I just wrote it, and I did make up the part about it in my things personal. Some personal things were going on, and I took it out on her. I just added that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I thought I needed to. And so I sent it off, and I can't really leave my house because I'm just, like, still in shock. And pretty quickly, I get an email back from her.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not more than 10, 15 minutes. And she says, thanks for writing.
She totally played the mama card on you. She made you. She tortured you throughout the day for the crime, and she realized that that was that. I guess was enough punishment for you.
And the only thing that that follow up email said from her was thanks, basically.
Thanks for writing.
Thanks for writing.
Thanks for writing. Wow. Yeah. So she still hasn't addressed the nasty things you said in the first email at all.
She's probably not going to.
Wow.
Now, do you think more of her because of how she handled this, or the same?
Well, it's a complicated question because I really don't understand it completely. And if I get to keep my job, yeah, I'll think more of her, you know?
Because what I mean about the mommy thing is she's made you, she mentally tortured you for your crime instead of just spanking you up front.
But I needed that. I did something wrong. You know, like, I was just terrified I'd get fired. So, in other words, I feel that I deserve the punishment of the torture, you know? As long as I get to keep my job.
Would you consider yourself like one of the stars of this organization? Like top level performers?
Well, I would put it more like very up and coming, going in that direction, meaning I'm a little younger than some of the stars. There's not as really females in that area, I hate to say, but I've done so well that maybe I could have become one of the stars in the very near future. I don't know what will happen now, but I was probably being looked upon that way.
Well, I tell you what's going to happen now is that you're going to be a better employee.
She knows that.
She knows that. What if she becomes a better boss? Like, what if your email was so harsh?
Oh, that'd be a miracle.
It, like, you know, kind of took her off guard a little bit, and maybe she does start, like, what if she starts, like, dressing a little bit nicer and, like, acting a little bit nicer
not
in the meetings?
And,
You know what I mean?
Excellent point, because I felt so guilty because I knew there was something wrong about what I did. But at the same time, there had been something wrong about what she had been doing.
Don't get cocky about it.
Yeah, right?
You better learn the lesson or you're going to lose your job.
Yeah, I think the next thing you should say to her is, so when are you going to thank me?
That's perfect.
I'm really not being cocky, but I really sincerely mean that. I know what I did is wrong, but when a boss talks down to their employees, really hurts morale.
Stop.
Because my thing is, I would, if I was in your same situation, I got to be honest, and that's why I asked the question earlier, I would probably think more of her based on how she handled it.
Right.
You know, the fact that she did not fly off the handle and immediately fire you, the fact that she thought about how she's going to handle it and she let you think about it and then never brought it up.
I would always feel as the employee that this is a ticking time bomb, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it's like it could come out at any time. She could use this to get rid of you. You know, like she has the ultimate trump card, and here in Georgia, you don't really need cause. I mean, if they want you gone, you're gone. So you make one little mistake.
But that's great manipulation on her part.
Why is that in Georgia? Why do we have it?
I don't know.
She only asked us now.
I don't know.
If
I were you, I'd go to the Capitol today and try to get it changed.
Funny, yeah.
You're going to be on pins and needles. Every meeting that she calls you in for, you're going to think it's a discussion about your job.
It's always lingering. Yep. That's a great management
tool. Smart.
I'm going to use that on y'all.
And I have one more question for you.
Okay.
Are you the Q100 $10,000 free money fugitive?
In person, Jen.
Can't
Bobby.
Do it over the radio, Jen.
But with the voices, guys, it just sounds
can't
the
can't do it over the radio. All right, thank you, Abby. Congratulations, I guess, at least
hope,
for now, okay?
I hope, yeah. Thank you.
All right,
I'll
bye-bye.
Be through it.
That was a pretty good management technique.
Yes. It was a brilliant management technique.
The suffering, the day-long suffering.
Yes. Oh, yes. Just let it linger.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
All right, this was Sarla on Friday. How long have you guys been broken up now?
A year, actually.
Wow.
And then last summer, a year ago, he proposed, and it was really great. And I mean, from the time we started dating, I thought this was the one. I don't know. Like, I just started getting kind of cold feet, not because of him, but because of, like, who am I, and I want to be my own person before I get married. I talked to him about it, you know, and I said, well, what if we just took 30 days, like a 30-day break, and I go back afterwards realizing that he is the one, and he completely calls the whole thing off, and he's like, you know what? No, this isn't worth it.
At least in the scenario that you're playing for us, it's obvious he was so offended. He's like, if she doesn't know now, then that's it. Mm-hmm. At least you need to hear that.
I mean, if that's what it was, then I need to hear it.
So producer Tracy does what producer Tracy does, and she tracks dude down, and he was ready. She says he was ready to come on today and give her that closure, and Jess says that's not going to happen.
Kind of. Tracy, after the show on Friday, did all that stuff, and he had to think about it. So she gave him my number to call back because she was walking the 2-day and figured she'd be pretty passed out come Saturday and Sunday night. So I got a call from him yesterday evening, and he said, okay, I'll do it. I'm cool. I'm in, but you have to give me your word that I do not have any interest in speaking to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's whatever, not going to speak to her.
We're cool with that.
And I said, okay, no problem, done. So I get off the phone with him. Then I call Sarla up to confirm with her and say, you know, are we all set tomorrow, 7:30, everything cool? And she's like, yes. And then asked some question that implied that she would be speaking to him. And I said, well, just so you know, there's a good chance she won't speak to him. It's his decision if he decides not to. And then her response was, well, I need to speak to him. That's why I'm doing this. And I said, well, maybe it wasn't explained properly, but
that's not how the closing call works.
Yeah, there's no guarantee. Like, during the conversation, if he says he wants to talk to you, we will connect the two of you together.
Sure.
But if he doesn't.
The agenda is closure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, but if he doesn't. And she's like, well, I need to talk to him. And this went on for a few minutes. And I was like, okay, well, whatever, thinking. And then she told me something that I think she'll probably be telling all of us now that makes it interesting. So I ended up calling after she told me that. I called him back and said, hey, we're going to push this back a day or two. I'll be in touch. Tracy or I'll be in touch on Monday.
So we put him off.
Kind of. So now Sarla can fill in the blanks.
Okay.
Hey, Sarla.
Hey.
Okay. So there's something you left out, something that we need to know before we get him on?
Well, yeah. The reason I really want to talk to him, I have a 2-month-old daughter.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Oh.
that he that's his?
Yeah.
A 2-month-old daughter?
Yeah.
So when you when you took your 30-day break, you obviously didn't realize you were pregnant.
Right. I mean, I guess, you know, it all happened right before the break, and then I didn't realize I was pregnant until after it was kind of settled that he had called it all off, and I actually thought I was late because of the stress, because of all the chaos and moving and stuff, and that's what I kept thinking it was. And then,
so how does he not know that until now? Didn't you try to get a hold of him and leave messages and stuff?
Yeah, I was. I'm not going to drop a bombshell like that on his voicemail, you know. And I didn't want to tell him over
wait
email
for
or
a year.
He won't answer my calls. I think I've been desperately trying. I didn't know. I wanted to tell him in some way in person, so he can't run away from it. So he has to actually face up to it. And I didn't want to. I didn't want to just leave a message. I didn't want to, you know, on Facebook. Oh, by the way, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, but I mean,
are you sure it's his?
Yes, that's not in question at all.
Whoa!
So I'm
shocked.
Be going further on what Jen's saying. So you couldn't leave it on his voicemail. I mean, how long did y'all date?
3 years.
3 years. So you know where to find him,
right?
Like if Katie and I broke up, mm-hmm. and then I mean. If Jesus was coming again because I was pregnant, then I would show up on her doorstep. I would know where to find her.
Somewhere.
Absolutely.
Or you leave a voicemail like saying, I really need to talk to you today. There's some information that you really, really need.
Or there's an emergency. I've got to talk to you.
Yeah.
I've left every type of message. I've tried to call his sister who won't take my calls.
Have you left the message that starts with, hey, I have your baby?
Yeah, that would have been my next move.
Why didn't you? Why didn't you person to person? Did you go to his work? Did you go to his house?
Well, I was so terrified. I kind of watched his. I drove up there, drove up to Louisville one day, and he happened to be out of town, and then his neighbor like saw me and I don't know, talked to me, and you know, I mean, I recognized the neighbor, or whatever, and they said, you know. Heard you had a really horrible breakup, and I don't think it's a good idea for you to come around. And so I was like, great. So now I'm a crazy stalker and just following. And I'm not. I just want to talk to him. I mean, I think that he should know, and I've been trying to figure out how to go about letting him know without, because I want it to be on some type of, I want him to know where I'm in a situation where I'm not a stalker. Of course, now I'm calling him on the frickin' radio, but I mean, I just want him to know what the situation is without it being my hunting him down. I mean, I want him to.
Well, that's what you're doing, though. I mean, that's what we've done. And something's missing here, also, because if your boyfriend went to the neighbor, who I'm guessing he's not real close with, and told the story, it must be a pretty sketchy breakup. Like, what happened? I'm not quite buying the whole at the end of the 30 days. There was just nothing.
Well, did you guys live up there together? I don't remember that part of the story. And then you came to Atlanta during your 30 days?
Yeah. So I wanted to, like, have a complete break for 30 days, so I came back to live with my parents.
Yeah, I agree with Bert. Something is not right. Because he said, you know, here he is proposing to you. You say, look, I need a break. I'll be back. And then nothing. And then you're pregnant, and you didn't know where to find him, didn't know how to talk to him. You're not telling us everything. And now I want to talk to him even more without the information about the pregnancy, just to see where from his side what actually happened.
Yeah, people are not buying it here. Hey, Lance, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning, Bert. So there's just something not adding up here. Because let me tell you, if a woman got pregnant from her boyfriend who just cut it off for 30 days, you know what I mean, they're not together, and then she can't get a hold of him, she's going to get mad and say, hey, look, I got your kid here. You know, you got to fess up to this or something. This
I got
something
your
ain't
kid
right
over here.
Here.
I got your kid over here, and he wants to say hi to you. Why don't you come talk to me?
Here.
Yeah, you come talk to me about your kid or I'm going to break your kneecaps.
But regardless of whether you wanted to tell him in person or not, there's a point where you send a text message that says, I'm pregnant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a time you leave a voicemail that says, hey, I'm 3 months along and I'm having your baby. You may want to call me back. Like, I just can't believe you never got to that point. I just don't
Or you get some delivering room nurse to twit pick the crowning of the child. As soon as that kid starts to make an appearance.
Click. Like you went through 9 months, well, it's actually 10 months of pregnancy, and then delivered a baby, and then you have a 2-month-old, and you haven't told him yet, and you're coming to us to find him. That is, I just don't buy your story at all. I'm sorry. I just don't. And I just cannot imagine anyone I know being able to not say that on a voicemail message.
Well, I would be in the driveway
to protect the sanctity of the information.
I would camp out in the driveway. I just don't understand why the phone was the only resource you had to talk to a guy that you dated for 3 years. I don't know.
Like, how do we know that you're really pregnant?
I don't think you have a baby.
Yeah. What is going on?
I don't think she.
I don't think she does either.
But, do you have a baby, Starla?
I really don't.
Like, I think that that's just your tactic to get him to talk to you.
But if that was the case, then why wouldn't she just let him come on this morning?
You're going to have to email.
You're going
to have to email Jen a picture of you nursing a child.
Yes.
Pinch your baby right now so we can hear her cry.
Just flick it.
I really have a baby.
What's his or her name?
Emma.
I don't know where to go with
this. All right, I believe
it. I don't either.
Well, I still want to talk. I mean, the definition of a closure call is we get his side of the story.
Why don't we still do it? Like, right.
That's what I'm saying, is we still need to talk. I still want to talk to him, and I still want to get his side. And I'd love to get it this morning. And then you can't talk to him because you knew that was what closure call is that you're coming on to get closure. We hear his side. You're not on the phone with him. So I want to hear what happened.
I want to tell him you got a baby.
I don't even know that that's our place. Yeah. I mean, I would like to hear what his story is also, but it's not our place to tell him that.
Would you be...
Unless that's what you initially really called us for. You want us to tell him.
Well, I wanted to tell him in person or over the phone at least, you know, so that he can't run. And at least if there are witnesses, if people are aware of it, then he can't just run away and ignore me and think that I don't have a baby and think that I'm making it up.
So your language this whole time is he can't run from his responsibility, so he can't run away. It's like, what has he done? Nothing. He proposed to you. That's what he did.
I mean, we could tell him that he really needs to call you without us being the ones to tell him that he has a child.
I'm with Melissa. I would like to just have him on without Sarla and just have that conversation. Yeah. With him, like we would normally do a closure call, and then based on that information, we can go back and decide what we tell him, what we don't tell him.
Hey, great. Candace.
Hey. Hi. I just wanted to comment, like, you know, I got pregnant and had only been dating a guy for 2 months, and, like, I hunted him down, and he lived out of state, but, like, well, the second I knew he was in Georgia, I mean, I called his mom, I called any number I knew of any friend, like... And he didn't end up sticking around my whole pregnancy, but, like, I just can't see keeping it from somebody that you were with for 3 years. Like, how could you not tell them and, like, go find them? I mean, how far did he live from her? Like,
and somebody that she says was willing to marry her.
In 3 years, I mean, why not tell the sister? Why not call his mom? Why not show up on his mom's doorstep, his sister's doorstep, his friend's friends of friends' doorsteps?
I ain't going nowhere. That's what I'd be saying.
Can we get this guy on next?
Tracy can call him.
Yeah, okay. Let's do it.
Why don't we just go ahead and proceed with the closure call and find out exactly why he never called back. And then based on our conversation with him, we'll try and figure out how to proceed from there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Let me put you on hold or we'll have Tracy give you a call back.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Something's not right.
There's something missing.
Something's out.
Hey, Ann. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
You think we're being too hard on her, huh?
To the point where I think you guys are being ridiculous, really.
Uh-oh.
Think about it for just 1 second, okay? This poor girl, you know, is about to make the decision of your entire life, and she asked for 30 days. If you truly love someone, first of all, you're going to give it to them. I would give it to anybody. Then, you know, she has to deal with coming back. And he acts like a complete child. Well, you don't want to marry me the way I want it to do, you know, to do it. So he just totally cuts it off without anything. And then she finds out she's pregnant. And, I mean, how is a person supposed to handle all that? There's nothing wrong with simply wanting to tell him in her own words, you know, look.
Then she could have found
you
him.
And I.
Then she
and he doesn't even give her the opportunity.
She could have found him. Yeah. She could have gone to his office.
Right. She could have, but you're not her.
Well, I don't think we have the whole story. I really don't. I appreciate you trying to defend her, but I honestly don't think you have all the details.
You guys are just going a little too, like she's this horrible person.
We just don't believe her.
I mean, really, like, portraying her, I feel so bad for her right now. It's like you guys are portraying her to be this, awful, evil person.
I don't think, just a liar.
I don't think she's telling the complete truth. She's leaving out a detail.
Yeah, I don't think she's awful or evil, but I just think that the story's just not meshing up right.
Well, no. Then get the guy on.
We're trying.
That's what we're doing. I think
you're awful and evil, Ann.
No, I appreciate her trying to defend her, because I feel like that's usually what I do on the show, is defend people, but not today. I did not believe it that she's got a baby.
Jennifer Hobby walked 150 miles. Her shins are killing her. She walks half a mile an hour. You ain't getting no sympathy from me, honey.
Not today.
Uh-uh.
You think you got problems? I've got shin splints.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm hobbling around like a 90-year-old woman. Don't even come to me for a hug.
The Burt Show. Get it? The Burt Show.
Have we decided that we are not going to bring it up?
We're not going to bring it up.
No.
It up at all.
I don't think so.
And we will just handle it like any closure call.
Correct.
There is no baby. So I think she was making it
there
up.
Is,
he can't hear.
Nothing. Maybe the dingo ate his baby.
The what?
A dingo.
Hey there, left field.
Oh, wow.
Somebody boom, got boom, that. Boom? And if you got that, I love you.
Okay, so.
Seinfeld.
Is he aware also of what this is all about, uh-huh. Like why we have him on?
He thinks it's a closure call. So he knows that he's coming on because of Sarla, and remember, because he didn't want to talk to her at all?
What I'm going to do here is, as soon as he comes on, I'll play a portion of the first conversation that we had with her, and then we can start it from there.
Okay. Yes, we don't bring up it.
All right. Is he on hold?
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom.
Let me take him off hold.
He's up.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
Brad.
How are you today?
I'm doing okay. Yourself?
Okay. Good. Brad, you know why you're on today, but I just want to play you about 40 seconds of the initial phone call that we had with Sarla a couple of days ago, so it'll give you sort of a better perspective on where we're at today and what we're looking for.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Okay. This was Sarla a couple of days ago.
Boom.
How long have you guys been broken up now?
A year, actually.
Wow.
And then last summer, a year ago, he proposed, and it was really great. And I mean, from the time we started dating, I thought this was the one. I don't know. Like, I just started getting kind of cold feet, not because of him, but because of, like, who am I, and I want to be my own person before I get married. I talked to him about it, and I said, well, what if we just took 30 days, like a 30-day break, and I go back afterwards realizing that he is the one, and he completely calls the whole thing off. And he's like, you know what? No, this isn't worth it.
At least in the scenario that you're playing for us, it's obvious he was so offended. He's like, if she doesn't know now, then that's it. Mm-hmm. At least you need to hear that.
I mean, if that's what it was, then I need to hear it.
All right, so Brad, according to her, you guys have this 30-day period where you're supposed to be contemplating if this is really the right thing to do. And then she never really hears the words come out of your mouth if you have to take 30 days to think, if you want to be with me for the rest of my life, then I don't want to be with you, which is what she's always assumed is the reason why you guys are not with each other now.
Well, I don't know how she could think that, because I clearly conveyed that. You know, she took 30 days of a break, and then I took 30 days of a break, and I told her exactly that. I don't know why she's thinking that I'm holding on, or I'm still waiting to tell her. I mean, it's crystal clear in my head, and I'm only doing this so that she can get some closure on her end, you know? Mm-hmm.
So do you remember, like, did you tell her this over the phone? Were you at your house? Were you at her house? Like, because she has no recollection of this conversation whatsoever.
Well, she should have a recollection, because I wrote it on paper. I wrote her a letter and told her this.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was, I proposed to her last August. Mm-hmm. You know, and then close to I think around November or so, she told me that, I don't know if she got cold feet or if she just started getting scared. I thought it was going to pass. I thought it was just one of those, I mean, I don't want to sound sexist or anything. I thought it was just one of those woman things where she just needed a chance to, like, kind of get her bearings a little bit. And she told me that she wanted to take a break, and I was shocked. I was heartbroken. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to be with her. And And when during that time, you know, she went to Atlanta. She moved to Atlanta. I live in Louisville. I'm in Kentucky, and she goes to Atlanta to think it over. And during that time, I started doing some thinking of my own, I guess, and kind of realizing that, gosh, we do kind of fight a lot, and we got some differences, and I'm not sure if these differences are reconcilable. And, you know, I started thinking that maybe it's time I go my separate ways, too. So basically, in those 30 days that she took, I did some thinking of my own and decided, you know what, maybe it's not a bad idea that we kind of extend this break, because I'm not so sure I want to go through with it at this point. So I wrote her a letter and told her that, you know, you took 30 days. I've been doing some thinking. I want 30 days to think about some things. And during that time, I just realized, you know what, I just had clarity. It was kind of an epiphany, actually. And I was like, I don't want to be married to this woman. I don't think my life's going to be good.
Wow.
And I don't think her life is going to be good, and I don't think we're going to be good together. So at that point, I'd written her a letter and said, look, you had your 30 days. I've had mine. We've had some time to think, and I just don't think it's going to happen. And I told her that emphatically. It's not going to happen. You know, I don't think I can be with you, Sarla. And I told her I was real, real sorry because I was. And, she, you know, I felt bad because, you know, I'd been going out with this girl for a really long time. And, you know, it was a really unfortunate breakup, an unfortunate situation, but, you know, I definitely think that I did the right thing, and, you know, if a year later she still doesn't have closure, then, my gosh, let this be the last and final time on radio.
Now, Brad, I want to get a timeline correct, because Sarla seemed to convey to us that you had asked her to marry you and that she immediately took those 30 days, but it sounds like you were engaged for, what, 3 months before she decided to take those 30 days?
Yeah, we went. Yeah, exactly. We went along for a while there, and she kind of sprung it on me. Hmm. And you know, we were still talking about dates as far as the wedding, and we hadn't quite got to that point. So it's not like plans were totally set in motion. But still, you know, I made up my mind, and I wanted to marry her. And yeah, about 3 months later, she told me she needed some time. And like I said, I mean, she just got scared. She just got crazy, and
that changes things a lot, quite a bit.
How do you feel about her now? Do you miss her?
You know, she's a sweet girl. She's a wonderful girl, and I wish her all the best. But I truly have moved on. I've moved on in my head. I've moved on in my heart, and that's I guess what the final message that I want to convey to her today is that she needs to do the same. You know, for the sake of her own heart, for the sake of starting the healing process, if she hasn't done it already, she needs to move on. And I certainly know.
Just cut all ties.
Yeah.
No connection between the two of you.
No. There's been no communication, and that's how I prefer it. And as hard as it may seem to her, that's what she should prefer, because that's what you need in order to heal in relationships. I've been devastated before in relationships, and the best thing you can do is just not talk to the person. And I told her that, like, please don't. Don't contact me, you know. And again, it's not because I don't like you. It's not because I'm hurt or upset. It's for the best right now.
Mm-hmm.
We can both heal and
move on. Yeah,
Melissa, exactly. do you have a timing question that you think is important?
Yeah, just one last timing question. So what month? Because you said you proposed to her in August, that she needed the 30 days in November. Then you needed 30 days when she got back. So what is the month that y'all broke up for good?
Well, I guess it was around January.
Okay.
And that is the last time you saw her was in January?
Well, I didn't see her. I wrote her a letter because she moved to Atlanta, so.
When is the last time you physically saw her?
When she left.
In November.
She left me. Yeah.
Is that in November?
Around November.
November. And there was nothing, no contact after that?
Well, there's just letters. No face-to-face.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I didn't need that. I had made up my mind at that point that it's better if I don't see her.
Mm-hmm.
Better if she doesn't see me.
Can I ask
I just wrote letters.
Can I ask you an
phone once or twice?
Can I ask you an awkward personal question? And you don't have to answer it if you don't want to.
I can't.
Was there that one last goodbye, intimate,
boom boom pow
session before you guys said goodbye to each other for good?
No, there was not.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I appreciate you coming on
being
so honest with us.
That covers it.
That's painful to have to relive all that, and I appreciate you sharing your story with us, because I know that's hard to do.
Well, you're welcome. And, you know, I did. I hope you guys are able to, I guess, talk to Sarla, or hopefully she's listening or whatever. I don't know. But it's just, you know, I understand where she's at, and it's tough for both of us. It was tough for me then, but I've moved on, and this is kind of a hard thing to encourage somebody when you tell them, hey, I've moved on, you should do the same, but it gets better. Mm-hmm. It gets better, and she will feel better, and my heart goes out to her because, again, she's a sweet girl, and I learned so much in being in a relationship with her, and I hope she feels the same way about me, so I hope she doesn't think of it as a, you know, waste of time in her life, but because I don't think of it that way at all. I just think it was something that didn't work out, and I guess in a strange way, I'm kind of glad that she did take that time apart, because it gave me an opportunity to see some things, and you know, it's better to do it now and really sever ties and go your separate ways, because that's better than being in a lifelong relationship with somebody where you're not going to be happy.
Are you in a new relationship now?
There's somebody that is kind of new in my life. We're not serious, and I certainly don't want to go into too much detail with that. I don't think that.
But
you've
moved on to potentially starting a new relationship.
I've got a prospective thing that I got someone that I'm interested in. Yes.
Good for you.
I know a whole bunch of women are going to be emailing today, going, "I want to
talk
to this guy.
He's really sweet."
All right, Brad, you've been you're over the top with info, and you've done everything you can. And if it was closure that she wanted, certainly she got it this morning.
Okay, thank you, guys. I hope she did.
Thank
all
you,
Brad. Thanks a lot.
Good one.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, a lot to chew on here.
Sweetheart.
Totally
nice
cool
guy.
Dude, huh?
I just want to give him a hug.
I know.
I'm unsure about the timing and everything.
Timing.
The months and everything like this. So
doesn't
he says
it work
they,
out, though?
So he, yeah.
Well, he said there was no last hoorah. So if November was last month, there was no hoorah in
Let's
November.
Let's work it backwards, though. She has a two-month-old. The baby was born in beginning of August.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Back it up 40 weeks from there-ish.
Mm-hmm. It works perfectly.
Works out that it would be
but
his
there
kid.
But there was no hoorah in November.
No,
it
he, said,
been
he
in
said there was no final hoorah. I don't think Bert could have been that specific with that question, but that if they last saw each other in November, I mean, if they did it, that made the
Well, they
boom,
were engaged
boom,
for 3 months before she left, so that's another thing that she didn't tell, she wasn't
right.
clear mm-hmm. on, to us about.
So she could have gotten pregnant during those 3 months before she
uh-huh.
left.
I guess, but
and then
still,
she would
she's
have
engaged
like maybe
to
a two
this
and a
man.
Half, 3 month, I don't know.
She's engaged the man already.
Hey, Amanda, good morning. You're part of the Bert Show.
Hey, guys. Hey. I just want to tell y'all I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm just really, really kind of frustrated with this whole situation. Y'all had a lady on a while back who was looking for her daughter or her child's father because, mm-hmm. you know, and everybody agreed that he had the right to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of those people that I believe that anybody that has a child out there has a right to know. No matter what, even though it might make it hard for them, and if there's any chance that she really does have a child, he does have a right to know.
Well, there's an obvious answer here. With what we did months ago, there was a picture of her with the baby, and we knew it was hers.
We knew there was a baby.
In this case, we don't even know that there's a baby, so I think it would be irresponsible for us to say that there's a chance you have a baby when there might not be.
And I also
and she didn't seem real credible.
She can tell him that. She can leave that on his. It's not that she doesn't have his phone number.
Right.
It's
she
not
knows
that she can't contact
him.
She could leave that on his voicemail. She
or
could
on his Facebook page.
She and could tell him.
And the last case was someone that had tried everything and could not find him, and she needed us to find him. So Sarla knows where this guy is.
Mm-hmm. It is very, very, very difficult to hide now. Even if he wanted to, with the internet, and there are so many electronic mm-hmm. ways to find people, certainly can be done. But it is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a direct line to the dude. She
well,
can tell him.
She was, she was engaged to him already. So I just don't understand. The baby thing is still in question.
Can we get her back on? Because now we got to get her story.
You try her.
It doesn't.
Because yeah.
You know she was listening.
Hey
oh,
Lance.
Of course she was.
Good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey guys, I called you guys yesterday about this, and I'm sticking with my same story. I think she's a stalker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
she just. If you guys get her back on now, you know she's listening now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to fuel her fire to stick with her story. And nobody knows about it. Nobody, I mean, is there any way to find out if she does have a child? That's what you need to find out.
Tracy did offer this bit of insight as we're doing the math. Tracy's baby is 3 months old, and Tracy got pregnant at the beginning of October.
Hmm.
So...
I mean,
means if they get
within
means,
a couple of weeks,
yeah.
it could still work out.
Like
mm-hmm.
Jen said, and he would be the father if there's a baby. But I mean, she has there's new information we're finding out every single time, like even from her. Friday, she told us one thing, and then Monday said, oh, yeah, by the way, there's a baby. And then we talked to him and said, oh, yeah, we were engaged for 3 months before she took off, where she led us to believe that that was her answer to him in the proposal.
Well, I think she has that pregnancy memory thing.
Right. Mm.
I've got it.
Well, she's not pregnant anymore.
I've had it for like 7 years. Hey, Stephanie, good morning. You're on Q100.
I guess I'm a little frustrated with you guys because y'all are being really hard on Sarla, hey. But y'all didn't ask a very important question.
What?
He wrote a letter. How do we even know she got the letter? Who writes a letter and then doesn't find out if she read it or not?
Because they weren't speaking on the phone together.
Yeah, but he did. Where did he leave it? Did he mail it to her? Letters get lost all the time.
Don't be upset at us. We love you.
I have the utmost confidence in the U.S. Postal Service, and I think that letter was delivered.
Well, see, I don't because it's a letter. Does that?
Yeah, I think that's that right there. I think
that could be a stretch.
It didn't arrive.
Did you say the olden days? 20. The olden days
well,
when people put
sarcastic.
Pen to paper.
I was being sarcastic.
The mailman came up on his horse.
She sounds like it was from like 100 no, years
he
ago.
Went through
you
the wooden corral
send a letter
fence.
In the
pulled
mail.
In the middle of the town in front of the saloon. Mail call!
There's still mailboxes. You can still put a stamp and an address and it'll get there.
I got a box of salt fish and a Bible for the Carter family from back east. And a letter about how I never want to see you again for Sarla.
Here, Bird Show.